Who's excited to hear me preach this morning? Who's more excited to hear from God this morning in the words that I say? And I hope that today, well, not a hope, I pray that today that you have an encounter with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't come to church on a Sunday just to leave the same. I want to have some encounter with him, whether it's through the worship, whether it's through meeting and talking to you, whether it's through hearing a story or a testimony in your life, whatever it might be, whether it's having a coffee afterwards or seeing how my children have learned something about God and children's church, whatever it is, I want to leave here different. And I pray that there's an expectation around your life when you come, an expectation that God will meet with you and that God will encounter your life today. And we're in week two of our Start Here series, and we're looking at four areas that if we were to look at these areas and to dwell on them, I believe would make a radical difference, a radical transformation in our lives. And I really, really believe that. And so week two, and last week we looked at the Bible. We looked at the Bible, start here at the Bible. And the Bible, all that you need for life, any situation, circumstance that you go through, is anything that you need, any answers, is found in the Bible. The Bible is not just text written in a book. It's God's living word. The Spirit of God has been breathed into those words, and it brings life into us. And when we mix faith with the words that we find in the Bible, God's word, then we find that the words come alive. They become real to us, and we can see God's word activated in our lives. And I've got a question for you. How did we all go reading the Bible this week? I remember I left a bit of an encouragement, a challenge to get into the God's word this week. And the great thing is, start here, it says the little tagline, it's never too late to begin. So if you didn't read it this week, that's fine. You can start tomorrow and read it next week. And if you do have some difficulty finding a Bible plan or knowing what to read, you can go to our website, elevationchurch.com.au/Bible. Okay, so it's very easy to remember. What's the church that we go to? Elevation Church. We just add a .com.au. And then what are we wanting to read? The Bible. And you will find reading plans there. You will find devotions, things that talk about issues that we go through, things that explain the passages of Scripture that you're going to read. And that's going to be great. Who's going to do that this week? There's not many hands going up. You're obviously agreeing in the spirit. So I look forward to hearing how your reading goes. Today, I'm going to start here with a message called The Church. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the church, for all churches. I thank you, God, they're your church, Jesus. I pray that, God, that as we meet together, individuals, we become the church, Jesus. As we seek you, as we serve you, as we serve each other, as we love each other, as we love you, God, I pray that when we leave here today, we'll have a greater appreciation for your church. And on these words, as I speak today, God, I pray that they will help someone, they will speak into someone's heart, that will pierce through any divisions, any walls, any things, that facades that might try to stop the word of God being heard. And it'll be heard, Jesus, in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. This morning, if you hear something that you like, please say something. Say amen, say that's great. If you hear something you don't like, there's the door, you can go. And that'll be great. Around August last year, Gabby spent three days and two nights away at a gathering of pastors' wives in Queensland from our other locations. And she went there. And before, if you know anything about our household, you'll know that I don't get involved in a lot of, what would you call them, the domestic duties. Tough audience this morning. Very tough. And so I was stressing a little bit. How do I do this? What am I going to do here? How's this going to work? But praise God. Praise God for a great wife that I've been blessed with. And before she left, she made 3 days worth of kids' lunches for the school, put them in little brown bags, wrote the days down. spoiled. She organized, she left one meal for me to reheat, and then she organized with her parents for me to go over there to have dinner as well. She got all three sets of school uniforms ready for each of the different days. One was sports, one was a normal uniform. I can't even remember what they were, but she got those ready. She did all these things. She tidied up the house and made sure it was really, really clean and spotless. And so, you know, she went away and I said, okay, you've done all those things. I will let you go now. You can go now. It's okay. And you know what? All that stressing, I didn't need to stress. It worked out really fine. It was great, you know. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, of course it was great. You didn't have to do anything. Well, you keep being a hater, all right? It went really, really well. And one thing I noticed, though, was that after, you know, get home, feed the children, spend a little bit of time with them, brush their teeth, you know, do all those things, send them to bed, pray for them. I found that after that time, around about, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock onwards, that I was a bit lonely. What would I do with my time now? Normally, I might talk to Gabby or do something. I found I was a bit lonely. And if you're a single parent here today, you would know more than I would know. But you would know that it can be lonely. If you live by yourself, you will know that living by yourself can be lonely. In fact, you can even be in marriage and be lonely. You can be in a big family, have lots of siblings, and still be lonely. In fact, you could be here in this room today, surrounded by so many people, and be lonely. Lonely. And it got me to thinking, why do we experience loneliness? Why do we have moments of loneliness? And I realized it's because we have been created for relationships. We have been created for relationships. And Genesis 1:28 says this, if you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen behind me. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. God says, let us make human beings to be in our image, to be like us, to be like us. When you stop to think about it, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been in relationship with each other for eternity past and will be for eternity into the future. They have always been in community, communing, talking, doing relationship with each other. And this is who we have been made like God. Our wiring from relationship comes from this. And so to be created in the image of God is to be created for community, to be created for community. And so another way of saying it is that if we are not in community, we are not being like God. We are being apart from the image that God has for us. The New Testament alone has 47 specific one another commands. And unlike Gabby, I'm not going to go through all of them this morning like she did in her tithes message, but I want to go through a few. Here's a few things it says in the New Testament. Be at peace with one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Bear with and forgive one another. Someone needs to do that here today. Confess sins to one another. Through love, serve one another. Greet one another with a kiss. Settle down, okay, young ones, just take it easy. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Pray for one another. Maybe you need to be praying for some other people here today. Be hospitable to one another. What's really powerful is when these characteristics come around people's lives, come around an environment like this, when it comes around us, we do things that we wouldn't normally do. We get along with each other. We get along with each other. So many of us from different backgrounds, different life events, and yet we get along with each other. Why is that? Because the power of God is within the church. The power of God is within the church. You might see me up here on Sundays and think that, well, you must be extroverted, Bronson. You must be an outgoing person. Well, the truth of the matter is, I'm not. I'm an introvert. I like to be alone to a degree. I like to have me time. I don't naturally like doing things like this. If I'm in a group scenario and I don't have any responsibilities, I'll be very happy to just hide in the background and let someone else talk. I'll very happily stay at home and watch a movie rather than go out and meet new people. And so, any people like that here today? A few people. Other people are extroverted. They love being around people. They love going out and mixing with people. But the interesting thing is, we see that in Scripture, and I'm getting somewhere with this, we see that in Scripture that even Jesus withdrew himself from the crowds from time to time to go and refresh himself, to seek God, to refresh his soul. The main difference, though, is that he pulled away to pray and refresh his soul, but I pull away because I'm offended. I pull away because I've been let down, or you pull away because you're disappointed. Someone said something to you that has hurt you. We do these things. I pull away because I haven't gotten my own way. We get out of community not to pray or to refresh or seek God. We get out of community because of these things, these insecurities, these hurts that we carry, and we dwell on them. And we spend time dwelling on them instead of coming to God's house and dwelling on him. Instead of doing community together. Proverbs 18:1, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. I don't know if you've ever seen a flock of birds flying in formation. You probably don't see it as much here in Australia, but if you've watched any documentaries, you see like maybe geese, and they're flying this formation, and it's a V formation. Do we know what I'm talking about? And the reason they do this is because they discovered that they're better together. So the one bird is at the front, and then the other birds behind it are in its slipstream. And what that means is it's easier for them to fly. So they can fly further and faster together than if they were apart. We're better together. Luke 5:5, Simon speaks, he says, Master, we've worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Just to give you some background here, Simon and the other disciples or other men who were with him, fishermen, have been out and they've been fishing all night, haven't caught a thing. Jesus comes on the scene and he says, hey, why don't you just put your nets down over here? When Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. And so they put their nets down, and this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. I've got a question for you today. When your nets are tearing from either prosperity or from pain, who do you have to call upon to share the load? When your nets are tearing with either prosperity or pain, who do you have to call upon to share in the load? A critical question we need to answer is, when it comes to relationship with God, where does the church fit in the equation? How does church fit in there? And there are some who will say that our relationship with Christ is private, and therefore we shouldn't need to do community with other believers, therefore we shouldn't need to come to church. And there are many different reasons people give for this. Some of the reasons are Christians are hypocrites. They're too political or too judgmental. I've been hurt by leaders or others in the church. The church doesn't care about the things that I care about. And to all those things, you know what I would say? You are absolutely right. You are right. The church is made up of broken people. We're all broken. I don't care how much you think that you have it together. Compared to where God wants you to be, there is a brokenness in our lives. And so the church is made up not of perfect people, not of people who have got it all together, but people who are broken. But that's fine, because we come together and God comes upon us and he heals the brokenness in our lives. And so at church, don't put your faith in the people sitting next to you. Don't put your faith in me standing up here. I'll let you know I'm going to let you down at some point. I'm going to probably offend you at another point. I'm going to probably not come through for you at some point. But don't put your faith in me.
Put your faith in God. Put your faith in Jesus, not in men and not in women. D.A. Carson, in his book, Love in the Hard Places, writes this: the church is made up of natural enemies. What binds us together is not common education, common race, common income levels, common politics, common nationality, common accents, common jobs, or anything else of the sort. Christians come together because they have all, say all, been saved by Jesus Christ. Say saved by Jesus Christ. And owe him, say him, a common allegiance. We owe him a common allegiance. They are a band of natural enemies who love one another for the sake of Christ. Nowhere on earth will you get such a disparate bunch of people together as you will in God's church. And nowhere on earth should you have such a disparate bunch of people than in God's church. Because we are not joined together by commonality in the earthly realm. We are joined together by an allegiance that we have to Jesus Christ. Not to each other because of money or backgrounds or experience, but because we have all experienced the life-giving power of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the allegiance we have. That's what we have. See, the local church is God's plan A. You might have a plan B or a plan C with regards to whatever is in your life, but God's plan A is the church. There's no plan B. It's us. That's God's plan. See, God chooses to work in the world through the church. It's how God works in our lives. Remember, the church is not an organization or a building. The church is us. It's you. It's every single person sitting in a chair. We are the church. God's plan for this world is through us. I've learned a lot of different things from different people in the church. Different people from varying ages, young people to old people, various different backgrounds, life experience. I've learned a lot of things that I would not have learned if I had not been in the church. And some I've looked at and thought, I don't want to end up like you, so whatever you're doing, I'm not going to do that. You can laugh, guys. We all think it, okay? Other people I've looked at, and they've not known it, but the wisdom that they've had in their life has impacted me because I've known them through church. Years ago, there was a couple in our church, and they were called Terry and Ann, and they were like right-hand people to the pastors, my parents. And whatever needed to be done, they would do it. Nothing was too big. Nothing was too small. Whatever was asked of them, they served and really loved my parents and loved the church. And I was quite young when I met them, but they had an impact on my life. Faithfulness, serving God, integrity, things I learnt because of this relationship that I had through meeting them. See, there's wisdom and insight all around you this morning. I don't know if you're aware of this. There's wisdom and insight all around you this morning. And I'm not talking about up here. I'm talking about there's in the seats next to you. I'm talking about the seats in front of you, the people in front of you, the people behind you. Wisdom and insight that is just waiting there for us to receive if we were to get to know them. It's only by knowing these people that you will know God more. Here's something very, very interesting. Different parts of Jesus are shown in different people's lives. So when you come to church on a Sunday morning and you see me up here and you hear me speaking and sharing, you are hearing what I have received from God. You are hearing what I have experienced in God. You are hearing some of my revelation aha moments from God. But did you know that in your life, there are some aha moments from God that I need to hear? Did you know that there are ways and things that God has revealed in your life that I will never know about myself unless I meet you? That there are things in my life that you will never know about, receive from God, unless you meet me, spend time with me? That's because God reveals himself in you in a different way than he does to me. Who I am and what I've been through and different things I have a different revelation of God. Now, don't get me wrong. We all serve the same God, the same loving God, but different revelations. And you too have your own different revelations as well. And as we come together, we talk together and we speak and you say something. And I'm like, wow, I never thought about it like that way. That's what coming together in community and church is about. See, church is not an event we attend. You know, I really want us to really get a hold of this. Church is not an event we attend. It's not an event we attend. Church is a family we belong to. It's not an event. It's a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. A family we belong to. Why are we to be connected to the church? Some of you might be thinking, I'm sitting here this morning, Bronson, so, you know, you're preaching to the choir today. That's fine, but you know, sometimes we just need to preach things and reinforce things. Here's what I want us to understand this morning. If you're taking notes, write this down. Connection and attendance are not the same thing. Connection and attendance are not the same thing. Attending something is not the same as connecting in something. I can attend university and go to the classes, do the lectures, do the truths, and just leave. Never meet anyone, never speak to anyone. Or I can attend university and make friends, make connections. You can attend church and never really connect with anyone. Never really find out what's going in their world. Never really share from your own heart what's going in your world. That's not connection. See, church is not an event. It's a family we belong to. And it's not about attendance. It's about connection, engaging with each other. I was homeschooled through my high school years, year 7 to year 12. And I think I turned out pretty normal. You know, there's nothing wrong with me. And we used to go down to Geelong once a week. It was a time of connection with other homeschoolers. And there was about 30 kids there. But you know what? If I'm being very honest with you, I attended those things, but I never really connected. You know, I never really connected. I put barriers up. I shrunk back into myself, into my personality of being introverted, but I never really connected. And my prayer is that we would not be, it's entirely up to you. It's entirely up to you, but my prayer is that we would be not people that just attend. We would be people that connect with each other. In the time that I've got left, three thoughts I want to share with you that happen when we connect to church. The first thought, taking notes, please write this down. We're connected to God's temple. We're connected to temple, God's temple. The temple of God is not a building. It's you and I together. Let's get that understood. It's you and I together. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God's temple is alive. You, I, we. We together, we make up God's temple. And see, without we, it's incomplete. Without we, if it's just me, if it's just you, it's incomplete. God's temple is we. Ephesians 2:21. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Together. See, that says together two times there. Together. Church is about togetherness. Together, connection, engaging, togetherness. We can't do this alone. We can't do this alone. Who do you have to encourage you in your Christian walk? Who are you allowing to speak into your life to challenge you? That's what church is about, accountability. Who are you speaking into? Who are you discipling? Who are you connecting with? Every one of us has a responsibility to do that. 1 Timothy 3:15. This is Paul. If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Has anyone here built a house before or seen a house being built or maybe a commercial property? We understand that there are foundations that go down first And then there are pillars that go up to support the rest. And foundations and pillars are very important. See, pillars are for support, and foundations make things stable. Make things stable. See, when I'm connected to the church, the first benefit is I get support and stability. Support and stability. In the church, you can find support and stability. You might have to reach out for it and ask for it, but it's here for you. At any time, at any hour, you can call me and there is support for you. No matter what you're going through, what you've done, a phone call, and it's there for you. There are people in this church that would be exactly the same for you. You may not know them yet, but they would be exactly the same for you. Support and stability. It is so important for our lives. And until we get connected to a church for family, we don't have that Christian stabilizing network in place. Second point, we're connected to Christ's body. Ephesians 1:22. God has made all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Romans 12:4. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. Did you hear that? It takes every one of us, every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do, so we belong to each other. We belong, it's a family we belong to, so we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. Many parts, we are all parts. There are many parts. Everyone is needed. Every single person is needed. Everyone needs each other. Parts, many parts. Everyone is needed and everyone needs each other. See, I can't fulfill God's purpose for my life, for myself, without you. Without you. You can't fulfill God's purpose for your life without me, without the person sitting next to you. See, if we believe that, we will connect with each other and we will do life together. Colossians 2:19, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. Did you see that? Christ holds it all together, and it grows as God nourishes it. We can only grow when we are connected to Christ's body. We can only grow when we are connected into Christ's church. People say, I don't need the church. It's just me and Jesus. Let me tell you something. God has gifts in other people that you need for your growth. Let me tell you, God has annoying people that he wants you to meet that is going to be good for your growth. Let me tell you, you're going to annoy other people that's going to be good for their growth. You know, that's what happens in a scenario like a church. See, we can't learn to love unless you are around unlovable people. Now, I'm not saying we're an unlovable church, but what I am saying is that you really learn love when you have to love someone you don't want to love. It's easy for me to love my wife. It's easy for me to love my kids. But when your rat bag kids that are always jumping up on this stage or always dropping crumbs on the floor, if that happens, I'm not picking anyone out. They're, you know, I don't love them. No. I love them because God loves them. And we love people who are unlovable. See, when I'm connected to the church, the second benefit is we get life and growth. Life and growth. You never grow in isolation. You grow when you are connected to people. Third point I want to make is we are connected to the power of Jesus. We're connected to the power of Jesus. John 15:5, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Power flows through connection. power flows through connection. Think about an extension lead. An extension lead is to be plugged into a power socket, and then something gets connected at the end of it, and power flows through it. But you can take that same extension lead and connect it to itself. There's no power that flows through it. And see, when we start connecting and you start putting power boards into the power, and now the power can divert out to more people, as we start connecting, there is power that flows through us, not of ourselves, the power of God, the power of Jesus flows through us that enables us to do what he wants us to do, that enables us to meet people that God has called us to touch their lives. It enables us to meet people that God has called to touch our lives. It enables the power of God to flow through our lives and purpose us to do what he's called us for. Galatians 5:22, a very famous passage of scripture. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law. There is no law against these things. The majority of these things you can only learn in relationship. The majority of these things you cannot learn in isolation. Patience is something you learn in relationships. And let me say this. You may think that you have patience until you meet someone that really, you know, annoys you. You may think you have patience until you go from being a single person to be married, and then there's this other person. You may think you have patience until you go from being a couple with no kids to having kids. Then you learn about patience and anger and all kinds of things. You learn these things being in relationships. Kindness, faithfulness, self-control, love, peace. Even peace is something that you learn and get a greater hold of when you're in relationships. When there is a time of stress or breakdown in a relationship, that's when peace, God's peace, comes around your life. When I'm connected to church, the third benefit, I get God's power to change. God's power to change. See, when the Holy Spirit is working in us, it produces these fruit in our lives. A fruit tree is no good as a fruit tree if it doesn't produce fruit. And for our lives, the journey that we're on is a journey of being fruitful and producing fruit in our lives as Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes around us. If I could have the band come up, that'd be great. 1 Peter 2:17. Just a great verse. Respect each other and love the family of believers. Respect each other and love the family of believers. The church is family. The church is family. The church is God's family. And last week, my main point, my main start here point was read the Bible. And this week, my main start here point is the church is a family to be loved, not an event to attend. The church is a family to love, not an event to attend. The church is a family to be loved, not an event to attend. Church doesn't finish when we leave these doors. Church doesn't start when we enter these doors. In homes, in phone calls, a text message, going out to dinner, inviting someone to your house, catching up for a coffee. That's doing church. Meeting with someone, celebrating in their victories, some great event, being a shoulder for them to cry on, crying on their shoulder, encouraging them, challenging them, speaking to them, forgiving them, hurting each other. A family to love, not an event to attend. A family to love, not an event to attend. What's one thing, I'm going to leave you with this question. What's one thing you could do to be more connected this week? one thing you could do to be more connected this week. Perhaps you need to get more honest and more open in your relationships. Perhaps you need to be more transparent. Say, hey, this, hey, that. Be more open and transparent. Maybe you need to get outside of the relationship circles that you're in and reach out to someone else. Bring them into your group or join their group. Go outside of yourself. Maybe you need to invite someone out to coffee, catch up this week. See, the church is a family. A healthy family sees each other. A healthy family asks, how are you going? A healthy family doesn't just wait until some scheduled, organized family meal to see, hey, how are you going? What's happening? Hey, I did this today. You want to catch up? How's the kids? How's family? Here's what we need to realize. In 1,000 years, there won't be Apple. Coca-Cola company will be gone. There won't be Disney. There won't be Toyota. Maybe Australia won't exist as it currently does. Probably the way that Trump's going, America won't exist definitely as it does right now. But one thing that will still be here, unless Jesus Christ comes back before then, is the church. The church will still be here. It started 2,000 years ago. There's been many things try to stop it in the history of man, including us ourselves with our own offenses and hurts that we carry that make us disconnect from community and from the church family. But nothing can stop the church, because the church is God's plan A. The church, the one thing that will still be here, it's how God works in the world, and it's how God works in our lives. Let's pray. God, I thank you.